In this hour, First Friday Arts and Cemeteries on Stage. Our First Friday Arts segment encourages calls from all over the region to boost arts events in the coming weeks. Grab a phone and get ready. So, let's get started. It's October. It's the first Friday of the month. Let us strike up the band. A little gemütlichkeit for a Friday morning. Oktoberfest seems like an appropriate way to get into this month's arts listings. We throw open the phone lines for live calls about arts events around the region in our First Friday segment, so grab a phone, 800-838-3760, and tell us about arts events going on in your town. We admit the lines are actually jammed at the moment, so you'll probably get a busy signal in the near future, but keep trying. The phones will roll over pretty fast. Some of our calls did come in advance. We're now offering a phone message line for the people who can't be free this time of day. You'll hear some of those, and some of our guests set audio files in advance. Blah, 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 Jeff. Let's get on. Let's start with Maureen in Liberty Arts in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Hello, Jeffrey. Thanks for having us.
Sure. What's going on at Liberty Arts?
Well, right now we have Full Steam Ahead is a steampunk show in adventure and fantasy fiction and fashion, which is only up for another week. So if you make it to Liberty Arts by October 14th, you'll be able to catch that. Otherwise, our next upcoming show is actually our first international collaboration. So we're really excited about it. It's called Instant Love, and it is an exhibition about instant photography and collage. And we have four artists who all share something in common, the love of instant photography, like Polaroids, mm-hmm. other people's photography, and collage. So the four artists are Tati S. Titch from Moscow, Russia, and she'll actually be here October 21st for the opening, which is pretty cool. Flying from Moscow to Wairika for the show. The other artist, Black Napkin, is an archaeologist and professor from Italy. We have Anne Holland, who is an artist and instant photography guru in Lidwood, Kansas, and myself, Maureen Williams. I'll be one of the artists. I'm also the vice president on the board at Liberty Arts at our wonderful establishment.
Maureen, is it getting hard to find Polaroid film as the years go by?
Is it what?
Getting hard to find Polaroid film as the years go by?
It's Nearly Impossible, which is the name of the new company who started making Polaroids again. So Polaroid went out of business in 2008. And, you know, I mean, that year I cried and stocked up on film. So now we have other options like Fujifilm and whatnot. So all four of us artists have just a love for this and collage. So we've been exchanging materials cross-culturally, and this exhibition is the result of this, of us exchanging our own Polaroids, Fujifilm, black and white, other people's photographs. I went to a garage sale here in Wairika, found a bunch of old photographs from the 70s all over Siskiyou County, Jackson County, sent them to Italy, Moscow. They, you know, collage, send them back. So it's definitely a really fresh, interesting, different kind of show.
Sounds like fun. So that's October 21st?
Yes, and it runs till December 2nd. And October 21st, we will have live music, and it runs 5 to 8.
Okay, that's at Liberty Arts in Wairika. Thanks so much for calling, Maureen. Good to hear from you here on First Friday Arts. Next up, Ed with the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. This weekend, the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, conducted by Paul French, will present their first concert of the season. There are two performances in Ashland. They take place Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and both of those are at the Music Recital Hall on the Southern Oregon University campus. The concert is entitled In Paradisum, or In Paradise, and there are four vocal works on the concert, and three of them use this passage of Latin text, In Paradisum, written for the Requiem Mass of the Catholic Church. There's instrumental accompaniment for most pieces, and the concert, in fact, begins with a brass and percussion fanfare for a festive choral work titled Trinity Te Deum by Eric Eisenwald, the Latvian composer. Next comes a primarily soft and atmospheric setting of In Paradisum, once again by Eisenwald. And that's a rich choral accompaniment, oftentimes to solo viola and solo cello. Then we turn to a setting of a Thomas Hardy poem, The Choir Master's Burial, which includes this In Paradisum text, and it's a more uplifting exception to Hardy's usual pessimism. And then comes the highlight of the program, the nine-movement Requiem Mass written by French composer Maurice Durufle in 1947 for chorus and chamber orchestra. It's primarily a sweet and contemplative setting written to offer comfort, and it concludes with the movement In Paradisum, which depicts the flight of a soul to paradise welcomed by angels. So four works on the concert, and three of them include the In Paradisum text. It's a marvelous and just, it's a beautiful opening choral concert.
In Paradisum, Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, Music Recital Hall at Southern Oregon University. Times and days again, Ed?
Tomorrow night, Saturday evening, October 8th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday afternoon, October 9th at 3 p.m.
Okay, Ed, thanks for joining us today to talk about the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers concert coming up. Jane in Eureka Symphony, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Hi, good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi, good to have you.
The Eureka Symphony is opening its 25th anniversary season tonight, and we're pretty excited about it. We perform at the Arkley Center in Eureka, which is on G Street between 4th and 5th. And tonight's concert and tomorrow night's, both nights, will feature Bartok's Hungarian Peasant Dances, Amy Beach's Gaelic Symphony, and your classical station was playing some Beach last week. Mm-hmm. And then we're to have a world premiere we're very excited about. Libby Larson has written a piece to commemorate our anniversary. It's called Dancing Man Rhapsody for Violin and Orchestra, and it features our concertmaster, Terry Bond. And I heard it for the first time last night at rehearsal. It's so much fun. It's very playful. It's kind of a musical Where's Waldo. She has incorporated a lot of different well-known musical themes, and as a listener, you can kind of see them and hear them and recognize them, and then quickly they're on to the next one. But it's great fun, and we're really looking forward to that. People can get tickets online at eurekasymphony.org, or they can get them by phone with our ticket line, 707-845-3655. And we also have a free 7 p.m. musical notes pre-concert lecture. And tonight, that will be our concertmaster, Terry Bond, and the composer, Libby Larson, who's in town for this world premiere.
Okay, so Libby Larson is not a resident of the Humboldt Bay area?
No, she's from Minneapolis. And in fact, she was this year's recipient of McKnight Artist of the Year Award. She's quite a phenomenal composer and performed nationally and internationally. And it's the first time she has written a piece for community orchestra.
Oh, that's great. So a way to celebrate the anniversary at the Eureka Symphony.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Jane. Good to talk to you. Let's go on to Dan at Camelot Theater here in our First Friday Arts segment. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. Happy October to you.
Happy October.
Hey, we've got three productions starting up in October, which we're pretty excited about. We're dark this week. We just concluded the musical for our fall musical of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, so now we're getting ready for our fall play, which is the Tony Award-winning play by Neil Simon called I Ought to Be in Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a cute play. Opens up next Wednesday with a benefit for the Southern Oregon Humane Society, and then previews on Thursday, and then opening night is the 14th. That show runs until November 6th, and it's a great little play for that.
Neil Simon kind of packs them in usually, doesn't he? Still.
What's that?
Neil Simon still kind of packs the audiences in, doesn't he?
You know, he's had a very successful career, over 30 plays. So we've had a lot of success with some of his past shows, 45 Seconds from Broadway, just a variety of them. And we actually have a few coming up next year, which we're excited about as well. So, yeah, he's very, very prolific writer for Broadway.
All right, so I Ought to Be in Pictures opens next weekend and runs through November 6th, you say?
Correct, correct. And then we're also starting up a new series, which we call the Camelot Adventure Series. Smaller productions that vary from stage play readings to stand-up comedies to one-act musicals. And then we're even doing next year a teen video fest, which we can talk about later on. That's in the summertime next year. But we're opening up this year with a one-man performance called Mark Twain, The Wit and Wisdom of an American Legend, That's a two-night performance on Sunday, October 16th and Monday, October 17th. It's fascinating. The gentleman looks just like Samuel Clemens. It's amazing. He looks, he's got the white hair, white suit, just what you picture Mark Twain to look like. And he basically goes to the history and the writings of Mark Twain. So that should be a real fascinating show. It's a benefit for the Madrone Trail School and Camelot. So we're looking forward to that. The actor is Randy Maple.
Okay.
That's coming up next weekend. And then we also have a touring comedian, a nationally touring comedian named Jamie Campbell from Chicago and L.A. He'll be in town on Sunday, the 23rd of October, and Monday, the 24th. So we have two shows. He was named by the Chicago papers as the best comedian in Chicago. So we're excited to see what he can bring to Southern Oregon.
Okay. All kinds of things happening at the Camelot Theater in town.
Exactly.
Okay.
Check out the website. They have all the information on the website for the performance times starting, because they're a little bit different for the adventure series. They start a little bit earlier than the productions.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right,
Dan, thanks for calling from the Camelot Theater in Talent again. This is First Friday Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. We're perusing arts events from around the region. One phone line open for you to get in here and talk to us. Okay, no longer. That one's blinking already. 800-838-3760 is the phone number that will get you here once we've gotten all the other folks off. Murphy is joining us now to talk about In My Life, a musical theater tribute to the Beatles. Welcome.
How you doing, Jeff?
Doing okay. How are you?
Great. Great, best day ever. Happy to promote the show here. This will be the In My Life's first time in Klamath Falls. So we're excited to bring the Beatles story and live music to Southern Oregon.
Let's give a little taste of this first, too, because you did send a clip in advance. So let's hear a little clip from the Beatles show that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
So, Murphy, this should dispel any questions we might have had about whether you're going to deal with all eras of the Beatles. It sounds like you certainly will.
Oh, yeah. We're starting all the way from the Cavern Club, from when the Beatles manager Brian Epstein met them, all the way to their last concert at the Apple Corps building. So, In My Life is an all-ages musical theater rendition of the Beatles kind of journey from the beginning, and it's told through the eyes of Brian Epstein, their manager, the supposed fifth Beatle. And there's also a portion of the show where we have hired the Klamath Union High School Quartet to join in a handful of songs with the band.
Okay, that sounds... So would that be like Eleanor Rigby and things like that?
Oh, you got it. Eleanor Rigby, Hello, Goodbye, A Day in the Life, the really cool crescendo part. It's really quite beautiful, and it's nice to be able to support the local high schools. On top of that, it'll be at the Ross Raglan Theater and Cultural Center on October 17th at 7:30 p.m., so it's just one night. And you can get tickets online at the theater, or you can get them at the box office a couple hours before the show.
Okay, yeah, I have the address in front of me, rrtheater.org, theater spelled E-R, R-R as in Ross Raglan, theater.org. And this is for In My Life, a musical theater tribute to the Beatles, coming October 17th to Ross Raglan in Klamath Falls. Murphy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
You too. It is First Friday Arts on the Jefferson Exchange, and here is Jonathan calling with an event. It looks like we're about the Cat Trio performing live in Medford on October 15th. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, Jeffrey, good to be on your show. Thank you.
Good to have you here. What? Tell us a bit about the Cat Trio.
Sure. The Cat Trio is a chamber group from Yekaterinburg, Russia, violin, clarinet, piano. And they've played about 700 performances around the United States over the few years they've been touring. And they have five performances coming up next weekend. So maybe I could run those down for you.
All right, let's actually get a little sound if I can get Megan's attention, because she's got so many phone lines to answer. But we can play a little bit of one of your clips from the Cat Trio, the Kaleidoscope
Good.
Polka. So it turns out Cat Trio is actually just a shortening of your real name, is that right?
Yeah, the full name is Yekaterinburg. Yekaterinburg. The name of the city that the group is from in Russia. I'm their sponsor and manager. And you got a taste of classical there, but they play not only classical, but they play a lot of inspirational songs, even American pop standards, including some Scott Joplin rags. So it's a very joyful performance. They're going to be at North Medford High School Saturday, October 15th at 3 o'clock concert there. So next Saturday, 3 o'clock, North Medford. Sunday the 16th, they're going to be at Roseburg First United Methodist Church, playing at the 9 and 10:30 services, playing a 20-minute concert between. Then on Sunday afternoon at 2, they'll be at the Jacoby Auditorium, Umpqua College. 17th of October, they have the organization that has brought the Cat Trio to Roseburg found that they couldn't find a venue quite big enough for 300 students from 5 area schools or educational outreach. So the Cat Trio will play at Seven Feathers Casino Resort at the 10 a.m. workshop and performance. And then they wrap up the fifth performance they're doing when they're in Oregon next weekend. Actually, it's a Monday performance at Western Oregon University, Smith Recital Hall, 7:30 concert there. If folks would like to get a taste of the Cat Trio, their website is thecattrio.net, cat with a K.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be music there, more than 50 performance videos, and their story is told there.
Okay, the Yekaterinburg Trio, otherwise known as the Cat Trio, coming to the area for concerts in Medford, Roseburg, Canyonville, and then on to Monmouth, it sounds like, all kinds of stuff. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining us on First Friday Arts.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate it.
Take it easy. Let's go on to Kylie at the Eugene Ballet. Welcome back to First Friday Arts on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
Sure. What's going on with Eugene Ballet?
So we are opening our 37th season first performance this month called Giselle.
Mm-hmm.
Giselle is considered the greatest classical ballet of the Romantic era, first performed in Paris in 1841. It's a very tragic, sad, but also beautiful love story about a girl who ends up dying of a broken heart and is kind of resurrected in this graveyard as what's referred to as a willy, which is a spirit who has been betrayed in their life and cannot move on.
Wow, we have a musical passage that you sent in advance from Giselle. Let's get a quick listen to that. Okay, I think I can get the picture of ghosts returning from the dead in Giselle with this.
Absolutely, and I think that's what I find so fascinating about this ballet is that music and a lot of the choreography that people are going to see has remained largely unchanged over the last 175 years. So people are going to see something that people saw in Paris in 1841, and I think there's something so incredibly amazing about that.
Okay, sounds like so. When is Giselle opening at Eugene Ballet?
Giselle is going to be at the Holt Center on Friday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 30th at 2 p.m.
Okay. Anything else going on at Eugene Ballet you want to let us know about?
Well, we'll be starting our Nutcracker tour in November, which sounds far away, but it's really not. And so I'll probably be giving you a call next month to talk about that.
Okay, we'll look forward to it. Thanks for talking to us, Kylie, here on the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday. Teresa and Ashlyn at Shepherd's Dream, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for letting us do this on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm really pleased to announce that Shepherd's Dream and Creatively Speaking welcomes back once again the fine art photography of Pat Moore. And this particular exhibit is called The Images from the State of Jefferson for a 2-month display. And, you know, the images are going to be of our majestic region, including the Redwoods, Smith River, Lithia Park, just to name a few. And, you know, we always have a lot of things going on at Shepherd's Dream during First Friday and during the month. So the festivities this time are going to include the acoustic guitarist, Coyote, a tasting from the Earth Soda, and Sultan's Delight food truck. We have some other surprises also in store. And Shepherd's Dream is located 2 doors down from Studio AB at 629 A Street in the Railroad District.
Okay.
And anyone that has come by has always known that we have a great time, and we're looking forward to seeing you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Teresa from Shepherd's Dream in Ashland. Moving on to Barbara with Vision Quilts has some event to tell us about. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for giving us this time.
Sure.
We're celebrating the work of the Vision Quilt Project and having a fundraiser next Friday, October 14th, at Pascal Winery in Talon. And just a little background, a year ago, Vision Quilt formed in response to the tragic killings happening across our country. Inspired by the AIDS Quilt Project, Vision Quilt believed in the power of art and imagination to create dialogue and change. Our project began here in the Rogue Valley, where we found support as a nonprofit under the guidance of Peace House. So we've led Vision Quilt panel-making workshops in White City, Medford, and Ashland, in schools and youth programs, and many community venues. We've held local vigils. We've marched with our panels at the Disarm Hate Rally in August in Washington, D.C. That was organized in response to the Orlando shootings in Florida. And most recently, we worked with youth and vets in Chicago at the Veterans Museum, where their creative vision panels are currently displayed. Okay, so the Vision Quilt fundraiser will be held at Pascal Winery. That's 1122 Suncrest Road in Talent. It's next Friday, October 14th from 7 to 10 p.m.
And I believe we have a clip from your headlining act. We're talking about the band Left, which it turns out to be the initials of the people in it. So Brett Levick is the voice we hear. Let's hear a little bit of Brett Levick's Bullet in the Ear.
Beautiful.
We're beholden to our captors, and our soul is in the bargain bin. They water down our spirit, it evaporates like
That's Brett Levick as lead singer of Left. And so these will be your headliners at the Vision Quilt Project concert next Friday, it looks like.
Right, from 7 to 10 p.m. Admission is $15. It's at Pascal Winery, so there's always wine and appetizers available for purchase, and they'll be dancing. It should be a great time to celebrate the accomplishments and the ongoing work of Vision Quilt. So we hope everybody comes out, brings friends and family, and comes out to support and celebrate our work.
Okay, thanks for calling, Barbara, to First Friday Arts. Is the Brett Levick piece still running, Megan? Can we take it to the break? Because we do have to take a short break here. All right, so Brett Levick will take us to the break. First Friday Arts will continue. We still have a bunch of calls on the line. Back to take more calls about arts events around the region in a minute 20 here at the Jefferson Exchange. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our cup runneth over in our First Friday Arts segment. For this First Friday in October, we're inviting people to call with arts events from around the region. We have one phone line open of 6-800-838-3760 available to somebody to snap that up and tell us about arts events. We've heard so much so far from Liberty Arts, from the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, from the Eureka Symphony, from Camelot Theater, from a Beatle band coming to Klamath Falls, from the Cat Trio. You name it. We have had a lot of stuff so far. Still want to hear more. 800-838-3760. And here's Valerie at the Oregon Cabaret Theater in Ashland.
Hi. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Sure. Welcome back. What's the latest at the OCT?
We have a lot going on this month. We opened Bat Boy at the end of September, and Bat Boy the musical is still playing. It has gotten 4 huge rave reviews. So if you are in the Halloween spirit, you need to get a ticket to see Bat Boy. We have the most amazing local and New York talent in the show. So get your tickets to that. That runs through November the 6th. And then next week we open Rocky Horror Show. So we're going to be doing that sometimes on the same day that we do Bat Boy. We'll do Bat Boy at 8 o'clock and then a Rocky at 11 o'clock at night.
Wow.
We'll do a 1 o'clock matinee of Bat Boy and 8 o'clock of Rocky.
And are you allowing people to do the time warp in the aisles at the Oregon Cabaret?
We're ready. We're ready for it. So actually, Rocky Horror is almost already sold out before we open. So if you want tickets to that, you have to get on the ball right away because we don't have that many left, but we do have seats left. So if you want Rocky Horror tickets, go to our website at OregonCabaret.com, or you can call the box office at 541-488-2902. We also have on October 19th our very last one-night-only show, which is a cabaret act starring an operatic bass from Utah named Kevin Nakatani and his cabaret partner, which just happens to be me, Valerie Rochelle. So I'll be performing on October 19th at the cabaret as well.
Sounds like a treat. What kinds of songs will you and Kevin be doing?
We're doing a show called Songs They Won't Let Us Sing. So we're basically doing songs from our career. Roles from our careers that we just would never play.
Okay.
So we're doing songs from A Little Night Music. We're doing songs from Cabaret. We're doing songs from Lacage. So it's a really, really fun and kind of silly night.
All right. Bat Boy, Rocky Horror, and then October 19th, a one night with Kevin Nakatani and with Valerie Rochelle at the Oregon Cabaret Theater. Good to hear from you, Valerie.
Thanks.
Right, take care. Let's go to Dante at the Schneider Museum of Art in Ashland. Welcome to The Exchange on First Friday.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, what's going on at the Schneider?
So tonight for First Friday, the Schneider Museum of Art is going, along with our co-sponsors, Gallery Karen, Hanson Howard Gallery, Standing Stone, TAP, the Artisan Project, and the Contemporary Mosaic Summit are bringing the All Aboard Trolley to Ashland's First Friday. You can park behind the museum and catch the trolley at 5, and it'll make 30-minute trips to downtown and back until 10 o'clock.
Oh, wow, until 10 o'clock. Okay, good.
The SOU CVA galleries will be open until 8, and they're showing the Contemporary Mosaic Summit exhibition right now.
And this is a number of mosaic artists?
Yeah, it's in a juried exhibition, so there's a lot of different artists.
Okay, sounds fun. Schneider Museum in Ashland at the south end of the Southern Oregon University campus. Dante, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's go to Jessica at Oregon Stage Works. Welcome to First Friday on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks so much.
Sure. But Oregon Stageworks Just Reading is back in business after a few years asleep, as Peter Alzado put it.
That's exactly what is happening. And we have Peter and I have joined forces, and we have a beautiful space that we're renting at the theater at Temple Emek Shalom, which is on East Main Street. And our first production is a beautiful play called Annapurna. And It's a lovely, funny, witty, insightful, compassionate story, basically about everlasting love. And Peter Alzado is playing Ulysses. I am playing Emma. It's directed by Lisa Ivory. We've got original music by Joe Romano and a host of other very, very talented backstage people supporting the effort.
Okay, so Oregon Stage Works, for the folks who don't know, did have its own theater for a couple of years. I performed there a couple of times and then ended up out of that building and kind of free-floating for a while. So Temple Emek Shalom, probably not a permanent home. Are you seeking one?
Well, we are at this point in conversation with them about being their in-house theater. And basically, we both want to see how the first run goes. Right now it feels really hopeful. It's a beautiful space. It's they've been very open and warm to us. Kathy, the manager, Rabbi Josh, they love the idea of having theater in their synagogue. So we're hopeful because as anybody that does performing arts in Ashland knows, it's very, very difficult to find space. And and so we're very, very happy there and hoping that that this is an everlasting relationship.
And what are the dates of Annapurna?
Well, we have a preview performance October 27th at 8 p.m., and we run the last weekend in October and the first weekend in November. So we have Friday and Saturday evening performances, October 28th, 29th, and then November 4th and 5th. And then we have 3 p.m. matinee performances on those Sundays. So that would be October 30th and November 6th.
Okay, that's Oregon Stage Works back in business at Temple Emek Shalom, doing Annapurna on the last weekend in October and the first weekend in November. I want to thank Jessica Sage for calling in from Oregon Stage Works. Appreciate that. Moving on now to Kristen at the Rogue Valley Symphony. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Sure. What's happening with the RVS?
So in just 2 short weeks, the Rogue Valley Symphony will be beginning its 49th season on October 21st. 22nd and 23rd. We have a 2-time Grammy nominee and Avery Fisher Career Grant recipient, Jennifer Frouchy, as our violinist on the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. And just some of the other Avery Fisher Grant Award winners are Gil Shaham, Sarah Chang, Anna Kiko Myers, and Hilary Hahn. So she is a top-notch soloist for the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto.
Mm-hmm. And you also have some Shostakovich in there, is that right?
That's right, Shostakovich Symphony 9. What's... Don't let Shostakovich scare you away. This is a very neoclassical, fresh sound for Shostakovich.
Okay, let's actually get familiar with a little Shostakovich. Here's from the Ninth Symphony, Third Movement. Sounds harmless enough. Why do you say you shouldn't let Shostakovich scare you, Kristen? Is this something that happens to people sometimes?
Sometimes people feel the gloom and doom of the Soviet era when they listen to Shostakovich. But this was his reaction to writing that stated Ninth Symphony, as if Beethoven, after he wrote his Ninth, passed away. And people have been trying to climb over that barrier of the Ninth Symphony ever since.
Ah, okay. So it's a Ninth Symphony thing.
That's right.
Okay. And so what are the dates on your performances?
Those will be October 21st, Friday evening at 7:30 in Ashland at the SOU Music Recital Hall. Saturday, October 22nd at 7:30 at the Criterion Theater at the Collier Center for Performing Arts. And on Sunday, October 23rd, 3 p.m. at the Grants Pass Performing Arts Center.
Okay, 21, 22, 23, Ashland, Medford, and Grants Pass. Busy Rogue Valley Symphony folks moving around from city to city. Kristen, thanks.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Good to have you here. Final call, and we have a couple of other recorded ones to take here. Brian with Blue Ox Millworks and Haunted House Tour. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on First Friday.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. What's going on?
Great. I'm working with the Blue Ox Millworks in Eureka, California, down here in California.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting on a haunted house tour. Anybody that's been to the Blue Ox Millworks knows that it's full of rusty chains and saw blades, so it's not too hard to imagine it being a haunted house. And we're doing it as a benefit to the Blue Ox various charities. They have a veteran school helping veterans meet and learn real world skills. They have a community school that they run for troubled youth. They're a really good organization.
Okay, what are the dates of the haunted house?
Yeah, so we're starting this Friday tonight and Saturday, and it's every Friday and Saturday in October, and including Halloween night. Tours start at 7:30. You can show up and get a time slot for your tour, and you don't have to wait in line. You can just go and you get your time slot, and you pay for your ticket, and then you come back at your time slot, and then you go on your tour. So tours last about 10 minutes or so, and it's a good time. It's 13 and over, and it's going to be a fun time. It's a fun tour.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for calling us, Brian, to tell us about the Blue Ox Millworks and Haunted House Tour, and that'll do it for our First Friday Art segment. Wow, that's a lot of art stuff going on around the region. No big surprise. We are a hotbed of arts activity. Good to hear from you on this First Friday Arts.